From the KERA newsroom, I'm Sam Baker. Ahead, what homelessness looks like for Texas students. First, to the state legislature. Before a joint House-Senate conference committee completed a $210 billion state budget, there was one contentious issue: whether to ban state money from a proposed high-speed rail line between Dallas and Houston. Republican Senator Charles Schwertner pushed to keep the ban in the budget.
I again believe that we need to, as a legislature, take a strong stand that the state of Texas, when told that they are not going to need state taxpayer dollars, hold them to account. And that's all this rider did.
Central Texas Railway, the company behind the project, has pledged to build the rail line with private money. Schwertner's rider was eventually stripped from the budget in a 6-4 vote. The budget will get final votes in the House and Senate before going to the governor's desk. Governor Greg Abbott recently signed a law giving a loophole to high school seniors. The class of 2015 is the first to have to pass 5-star tests. But so many haven't that this new law gives those students another chance to graduate. Diana Douglas reports there are still hurdles to jump through.
Alejandra Jenis took the STAR test for English 3 times.
My sophomore year, then my junior year, then my senior year.
And do you feel like each year you've gotten better?
Yeah, the last time I took it, I just missed 2 points.
The hardest questions for her are always the ones with 2 reading selections where she has to write an essay comparing them.
How are they related to each other? Sometimes I can answer and sometimes I can't.
Alejandra is a good student. She passed her AP English class this year. The thing is, English isn't her first language.
Sometimes I don't understand the material well, and sometimes I run out of time and I have to, wing it, but I try to answer every question.
The new STAR English exam is more rigorous than the previous graduation test, and it's holding up a lot of her peers, too. 10% of seniors in Texas, that's 28,000 kids, haven't passed 1 of the 5 required tests. Alejandra may not know until next week whether she finally passed, just a few days before graduation next Sunday. If she passes, she walks. If not, summer school. And a committee from her high school, Grady Spruce, in South Dallas, will decide in August if she gets a diploma. Her classmate, Markel Perkins, is in limbo, too. So is his cap and gown.
Well, I haven't bought a cap and gown yet because I don't know if I'm going to graduate. When I do find out that I'm going to graduate, I will buy it.
Markel took the English STAR test in March, his second try.
This time, I think I really got it.
24 seniors in his class haven't passed 1 or more STAR test. Last year, when Texas required a different test for graduation, there were only 5 who didn't pass.
It's upsetting me. I'm already planning what I'm gonna do after high school. And if I don't pass this test, it's gonna hold me back.
Markel wants to join the Air Force to help support his 2 kids. He really needs that diploma to enlist. Since the governor signed the bill last week to give school districts leeway on the tests, many districts have created individual graduation committees for students like Markel and Alejandra. But Dallas schools won't look at alternatives until the summer. Darian Montgomery is the lead counselor at Grady Spruce.
So you would hate for seniors to not graduate, especially when you met all the graduation requirements. And then it's this test that kind of hold you back.
Has this been sort of hard?
Absolutely, because a lot of seniors thought once the governor signed SB 149 that as long as they pass 3, they can walk across the stage. They thought it was going to be easy, but the district wanted a little bit more accountability from the students.
Students who go to summer school, create special projects, take the STAR tests yet again in July, and still can't quite pass will get a final hearing before a graduation committee. That's how Montgomery will spend at least part of his summer vacation. For KERA News, I'm Diana Douglas.
The story's part of KERA's American Graduate Project. Down to this week's Friday Conversation. 111,000 kids in Texas public schools are considered homeless. KERA News next week will begin a new American Graduate series called Homeless in High School. Barbara James with the Texas Homeless Education Office sat down with KERA's Vice President of News, Rick Holter, to discuss the extent of the problem.
Barbara James, welcome to the Friday Conversation.
Well, thank you, Rick. It's a pleasure to be here.
Let's start with the basics. How does the state define a homeless student?
Well, Rick, there's four basic categories of homeless student. First of all, we have kids that are literally on the streets. They're living in cars, tents, under bridges. Then we've got kids that are living in hotels or motels. And these, of course, are not luxury motels. These are the lower income type of motels. And then we have kids that are living in shelters. And then the largest category of kids that we have that are considered homeless, that would be the category of doubled up. And these are kiddos who are living in the homes of friends or family because they have no place to call their own.
I wonder about the stigma that kind of surrounds this. How do educators take that on? Because you don't want to label kids.
We suggest to our districts that when they refer to kids that are in a homeless situation, that they have a code name. Some of them have a program called FIT, Families in Transition. We have some called Project HELP, the Homeless Education Learning Project. So they refer to it in the terms of an acronym. We just don't refer to the child as being homeless, but rather in a situation. And that makes it seem much more temporary. And also, it doesn't sound so pejorative towards the child.
How does this play out in a specific situation?
Well, I can give you an example that happened in one of our districts. The teacher noticed that the fifth grade child was in school a few times a week, always had on the same clothes. The teacher had been to a training about homelessness, and it dawned on her, this student might be homeless. And lo and behold, there were four families living in a tiny two-bedroom, one-bathroom apartment. Mm-hmm. There was a teenage girl who had just had a baby. She'd had no pre- or postnatal care. So that's a situation where an astute teacher, having gone to a class on homelessness, was able to make an impact on 17 people.
A lot of folks hear the word homeless and think of shelters in tough city neighborhoods. How does this play out in rural areas?
We're finding several families living together, oftentimes in substandard housing, housing with no heating, no running water, no electricity. We've seen a family, a mother and a son, actually living in a horse trailer that they were paying $50 a week to live in, this horse trailer with no utilities or water or anything, but it was a roof over their head. Sometimes the rural areas don't recognize it so much because the poverty is prevalent and it's not as probably well understood as urban poverty.
How does it play out in the suburbs?
In the suburbs, it's mostly in doubled-up situations where we've had pretty much middle-class, upper-middle-class families that all of a sudden find the job gone. Many times these families have overextended themselves financially. In fact, we had an instance where a student became homeless from one of these upper situations, and the last thing that they had was their luxury car, which they drove up to the school every day, but that was it. They were living in their luxury car. So homelessness really knows no boundaries. It really literally can happen to anyone.
I'm curious about how you got into this work. Was there a kid or a moment that kind of led you into it?
I grew up myself with not a great deal. We were never homeless, but we were close to it a few times. I was a little bit afraid when I was a child a few times, and always found myself attracted to kids that were, so to speak, the underdogs, the kids that didn't have as much as the other children had. When I had an opportunity to apply for this position, I just felt like, wow, I have finally found my niche. And I guess I did, because I've been doing this now for 24 and a half years.
Barbara James is director of the Texas Homeless Education Office. She joins us from KUT in Austin. Thanks for taking the time.
Well, thank you, Rick.
KERA's New American Graduate Series, Homeless in High School, begins Tuesday. In the forecast, a 30% chance of rain with a high of 75 today. Flash flood watch from tomorrow afternoon through Sunday night. It's 61 degrees. From the KERA newsroom, I'm Sam Baker.